What's up, everybody? It's that time once again for the Making Geeks podcast, for makers, dads, and geeks, episode 176.
What's up?
So, who's feeling claustrophobic?
I went out today. A lot of the things in my town are doing like online orders or like curbside pickup. So I've tried to take it upon myself to help out a lot of the businesses in town that are affected by everybody distancing. So if they've got an online service, then I'll be a patron and I'll drive up and throw something in my car and I'll drive away. Literally the least I can do to help a business.
Are you talking about stealing, or are you talking about just ordering and picking up?
No, it was like ordering stuff online. I got some food, went to the coffee shop, and got some ice cream, and I went to Lowe's, and I've had a pretty productive day, honestly, without being near a whole bunch of people.
I wonder if that'll just be the new norm.
It would be so awesome.
Just put it on the curb for me, and I'll come pick it up. I don't have to go in your store.
Well, using like the debit card machine at Lowe's, having like punch in your PIN number and all that. And I'm like, ew, no.
Yeah,
this is stupid. I shouldn't have to touch any of this.
Yeah.
Fix yourself.
Come do your self-checkout. That's going to be super clean now. Everybody touch the same screens.
Yeah.
Maybe now they'll shut down the stupid Coke Freestyle machines. I hate them things. Germ farms.
What about just waving your phone over and pay for it that way?
That works.
Apple Pay does that. Like some of the credit cards have a little NFC chip in it where you can just kind of tap it. Like this needs to be the way.
Or just Amazon, hurry up with your system. Just walk out with the cart.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the Amazon grocery store?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you, Donovan? How's it been going?
It's fine. I mean, I keep making this comment that if I didn't listen to the news, I wouldn't think that anything is going on because life hasn't changed for me at all, except work's gotten a lot busier.
You sound disappointed.
So. Well, it's a funny dichotomy of emotions, like being grateful that, you know, I have a job and being able to go to work and things like that. But then... But then being part of group texts and stuff like that about everybody, you know, being at home and all the projects they're working on and all the stuff they're building because they get to work from home from their job and they're self-quarantining and all the things they're doing and being productive and spending time with their kids. And I'm like, yay, I'm at work. Which I'm glad I'm at work, but yeah. It's a weird mix of emotions.
Yeah, I suppose.
I work.
How many people are there that you work with?
There's 65 that work in the building that I work in. And then there's our maintenance building, and then we have two remote locations in Omaha and one in Texas. And I work in an industry that like doesn't get affected by anything going on because people will always need oil and. Regardless of anything going on, people got to drive. Stuff's got to get from point A to point B. And so it has very little impact on the day-to-day of what we do.
Are you still going into the office or are you working remotely?
No, I have to go in the office. There's no way to do our jobs remotely. There's no way. Like we'd have to shut down. So, like I said, if I didn't, listen what to is the news, it? I wouldn't think like, anything's going on.
During their day, what is it you're doing? Like
you personally? Well,
are you cranking on machines or something?
No, I don't crank on the machines, but I assist with the IT stuff for the people that crank on the machines. Install programs, you know, put all in new line drops.
All that could be done remotely.
Well, it's like today, for example, aside from the marketing stuff that I had to do for new announcements that are going out for partnerships that we just came up with and new products that are going out soon, we're putting in new line drops into the offices, switching out our Cat 5 cables with Cat 6A cables. I got together with a security company who came into the office today, and we were going around it's figuring out all the places to put security cameras because we purchased another building, and so we're expanding and, you know, have to revamp our security system and all that kind of stuff, and just basic day-to-day stuff like I do.
Sounds like you're wearing too many hats again.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I'm not claustrophobic. I got out. We had pho for dinner. Like you do.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Or pho. I guess I've been saying it wrong for years. Pho, it's pho. But regardless of how you say it, it's delicious.
How about you, Wes?
We've been running a little bit of a at-home education center the first couple of days. Samantha and Grant are at home. Their teachers have not really. Well, let's see. Samantha's teacher, she went out. She left for maternity leave before all this stuff went down. So her class was already going to have like a substitute teacher for like months, or you know, a month or whatever the maternity leave period is, 2 months. Which is funny because last year she had a different teacher for the previous grade and the same thing happened. She was pregnant as well. So she keeps getting like these long, super long-term subs. But I don't know who's responsible for the class now. Like, I can't imagine they hired the sub. Long-term sub
typically is.
Long-term sub for web teaching, which they had no, you know, set up for her, and they had no knowledge of being required to do that. I don't know. Either way. Like, we haven't gotten any information from her teacher whatsoever. And then Grant's, we had to ask her to get any information. Like, she wasn't forthcoming with it. Like, she didn't send out an email or any sort of communication. Like, here's some online resources. Here's his logins that we use in the class. Da, 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 da. Like, they couldn't have been more, they couldn't have been less communicative, basically.
Sorry, just kinda, that's not good.
Annoying. Yeah. But Catherine's working from home. We set up a little annex for her office. She went and raided her office and left a note so it didn't look like she was stealing everything. Like a giant-ass monitor and like some speakerphone stuff and some other hardware bits and pieces. But she left a note, so I'm sure that's not an uncommon thing that's happening. It's just kind of funny for her to like walk out and go down the elevator, you know, with all this equipment, you know. But we set it up in the workshop, or excuse me, in the opposite side of the workshop in the basement. There's like a little office over there, and it's mostly soundproofed. I don't know if I could run my table saw and it wouldn't disturb her necessarily if she was on a conference call, but there's enough separation where I can do most stuff. And the kids have been a little bit more autonomous in the last couple of days. We've gotten some of the logins and done more online resource kind of stuff. But it's been pretty fun, just to see what kind of stuff we can come up with, and started teaching Samantha about decimals, which was fun. And apparently her class hasn't touched on that, so she was like, "Well, we're not doing this in school." I'm like, "Well, you're doing it now." It's pretty fun. Yep. But yeah, it's definitely different. It's different. I don't get as much time in the shop as I thought I was going to get initially, but as things have started to settle down and they've kind of fallen into routine, I'm getting down here a little bit more often.
Wes, I just noticed that you had an IG-11 hanging from some board.
Yes, it's in front of me. For those looking at home on the live chat, there he is. He's hanging from one of my camera mounts that I have set up when I do Twitch streaming so I can look down at the desk.
Speaking of streaming, I've been streaming every day this week for a couple times a day, mainly for the classes that I'm teaching. It's really been interesting trying to do remote teaching this way and not really having any kind of accountability system in place for the students. And, you know, even though they have work that they're supposed to be completing because this situation right now is temporary, we're kind of in uncharted territory in terms of grading, accountability, attendance type thing, because we can't even, you know, officially do any of those things. So the the main thing we've been trying to push is just kind of review and making sure that skills and anything that's been done this year isn't kind of like lost, so we don't have to backtrack once we start up again. Because we have the 2 weeks that we're officially doing this remotely, then we have spring break, and then we're supposed to be back to work tentatively on April 13th, which, you know, is supposed to be a kind of situation where, okay, you know, nothing happened. Let's, you know, keep going. I'm hoping that it's going to work out that way and it's not just wishful thinking. Otherwise, you know, we have to, you know, try to figure out what else we can do. It's been going okay so far. I've been in contact with most of my students. They've been pretty perceptive to the streams, and I post them on Google Classroom, and they have their assignments to do remotely. And we're pretty set district wide. Cause like even my kids who go to school in the same district that I teach have had work every day this week for at least 3 to 4 hours a day, that they have a number of assignments to do, that their teachers are doing pretty good for the most part. We've been kind of planning for this, not exactly this situation, but being able to handle work remotely for a couple of years now. So I think it's starting to come together. I've had to do a couple of tutorials for fellow teachers for how to do some software, how to do screen recording. I wasn't going
to
walk.
I was about to ask you that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to walk because I had some of them ask me because they saw what I was doing, and I'm using OBS and I got the graphics on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Switching between.
Sure.
And they're asking, well, how do you do the screen recording? I'm like, well, okay, I'm not going to walk you through using OBS. So there's another program called Screen-O-Matic that it's a lot simpler to use. And I think it's pretty widely used for teachers and different things. So I did a full tutorial on that, and they're using that. So
nice.
It's interesting. I'm getting tired of sitting in front of the computer, actually.
You can do a whole screen recording with QuickTime.
Yeah. But I didn't want to quite do it that way. And not everybody has QuickTime on the machine. I mean, for everybody that has a Mac, they do. But if they're working off a PC, they don't have it natively. There's a couple different ways of doing it. The Screen-O-Matic one was probably one of the simpler ones that's web-based. There's really not a whole lot of software to download.
So I know that Bob's kids, their teachers have they have online work that I guess they normally have. And then they have packets of papers.
Yeah, for
I think they have to go drive up to the school and mm-hmm. pick up the new stuff and drop off the old stuff in a box or something. Do you guys have that too?
We have it for those packets are usually for the elementary school kids, and it's still kind of up to the teacher discretion. Over the last couple of days, people at the district have been working really hard to try to get those packets together. And a lot of that was meant mainly for the kids that possibly didn't have internet access. Because if they have internet access, you know, unless there's a reason to have a piece of paper, a lot of it is able to be done online. But we have something similar, although I don't remember hearing anything about dropping it off. I'll have to talk to my wife because I got tired of getting all the voicemails from the school. So I just started deleting them. I'm not worried. I work for the school district. You know, you guys are fine.
Yeah, speaking about burdens that I, you know, there's definitely people suffering, and I'm not trying to make a light of that. But my most impactful thing that's the biggest annoyance for me so far in the first world problem sort of way is all the unnecessary spam I'm getting from all these companies saying I got something from Netflix, something from all these random companies that I forgot I even had any remote dealings with. I'm getting flooded. We care about your safety. Thanks. Signed Irwin Clamps. I'm what the hell are you talking about? What, you know, it doesn't even matter what it is. There's no reason that you're even
everybody felt they had to put out some sort of official statement just saying, hey, we're here. And not only that, but on the education side, through my work email, I have gotten probably 30 emails about, we have free curriculum for you now. Right. And then when all this is over, pay for our curriculum.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a lot of resources for kids right now that are staying home. A lot of people that are online that are illustrators, and really popular books are doing illustration tutorials. My son reads the Wings of Fire books. The guy who wrote them is doing live readings and things. And I just saw an email from Audible says you can download a whole bunch of audiobooks for kids from 0 to 18 across a bunch of different genres for free right now.
That's awesome. So
it's kind of cool that, that there's a lot of people
free
stepping up.
Free with an account?
Well, I don't know.
Free?
It says free. I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't looked any more than the email, but I think it's goodwill, I think, in a business is going to go a long way right now. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it has legs to stand after this whole thing kind of maybe one day fizzles out. But I think the idea that there is a – like even Comcast. Mm-hmm. Like Comcast did something nice.
That was huge for our students. 90 days – I think it was 60 or 90 days of free internet for the kids.
Yeah, like that, the worst company in the whole wide world decided to do something – I imagine that it's going to benefit them somehow. I don't know how, but just
I can tell you how. They're hoping that people forget to cancel.
Because after 90 days, they'll want to keep the internet.
But
we don't have Comcast, so I didn't hear about that one.
I mean, we have it. We have. I heard secondhand, but I know like a lot of businesses are staying open. A lot of people are trying to like feed school kids and. I think it's a weird distribution of like effectiveness. It's kind of silly that I make my living on the internet and my wife teaches kids in China how to speak English on the internet. So our face-to-face time is really limited. But people who are servers, like I was a server before I joined the army, like my entire income was based on how I schmoozed with people face-to-face. And like, that's gotta be super, super hard for people. And it's good that there are a lot of people that are banding together. A lot of government agencies, I just saw the HUD is foregoing like eviction notices, and some people are doing like mortgage forgiveness and things like this is crazy. My wife and I were talking about this whole thing is, I mean, it's not unprecedented for the culture, but it's unprecedented for our lifetime. Is.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, this is bonkers. And you guys touched on a lot of this stuff last week when I wasn't here. We were actually out. We were out at a bar. Supporting some of our friends who are playing music live. And it's been a very long time since I've been out at a bar. And the whole time there had these big TVs. And it was like, this thing is postponed. This thing is canceled. All these things are canceled. And it felt like some weird kind of like we were the people in Armageddon. Mm-hmm. Like not the astronaut drillers that were going to go save. But like we were the people like in the books. The background. Where like something imminent is going to destroy all of us. And we're just like, well, I guess this is our like end That's of the true. World kind of party. And we had a great time. And then everybody just put on a somber face and like slowly had to just stop doing everything that they were used to doing or alter it in some weird way. But I don't know. Like, what are some good things? Like it's neat that like businesses and stuff, like I know that I've got probably a few little first world irritations, but like, what are some things that you're hoping that are going to become positives out of this whole thing?
All right. So my answer to that is really wishful thinking, but I think this has, especially, you know, from what I can see around me, it's forced a lot of people to kind of slow down. Especially once the grocery buying kind of craze is dying down just a little bit, I think it's forcing people to slow down and do some other things. And things they wouldn't normally have time to do or almost being forced to do by being home, spending time with family, you know, maybe building skills, something, I don't know.
I've seen so many families going for walks.
It's great. You know,
and it's also been like in the 70s and 80s here. So it's been conducive for, you know, being outside and going for walks, but yeah, going to work in the morning, coming home for lunch, like coming home at the end of the day. It's like everybody's out. It's like, this is kind of weird.
Yeah, the temps have been really, they were a little bit chilly at the beginning, like this time last year, or this time last week, excuse me. But today was like 85 almost, but you couldn't necessarily enjoy it. And yesterday was like 75 or something. It was awesome. But in the last couple of days, another annual event has started here in North Carolina, which prohibits us from really enjoying the outdoors like you'd like to. And that is the Armageddon blizzard of pollen from all the pine trees. Like it's to the point where it like covers everything. If you lean against something like a railing, you get like yellow along your back, and it's barely just started, and it's on everything. Normally, we'd love to eat dinner like outside, like on the back deck. We have tables and stuff, and it's just coated everything, and it's just barely begun. So it's usually about 2 weeks of allergies for a lot of people, and just annoyance and yellow. You go outside, like we have a garage, but if you park your car outside, it's just you like smear it all over your windshield, and it's just gross.
It's the opposite here. It's 46 and raining.
Wow. Yeah, it's been raining nonstop for the last like 2 weeks.
What? It's been raining a lot here.
Huh.
It's odd for March for us.
That's odd for California,
right? The last 2 years, we've actually gotten a fair amount of rain, but 10 years, you know, the 10 years before that, yeah.
Yeah, we just got a weather alert that says our town's in a flash flood watch. Because the whole time, I was like, oh, cool, a bunch of people are going to be home. Like, neat. I'm like, oh, the weather's all crappy. And so you have one of those like little reflective moments where you're just kind of sitting there against the window and it's just pouring rain outside. You're like, I just want to go outside and play.
Cat in the hat. Yeah.
It doesn't help that I have an outside shop too.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. I got to play in Blender today, so that was fun.
Mm.
I had that at work today where I didn't get to come home. I usually come home because I'm like 10 minutes away from my job. And so I always come home for lunch, and my daughters have been at my parents' house for the last couple of days, just kind of hanging out with them and with my brother and their kids and whatnot. And today at lunch, we were so busy that I didn't get to come home. And my wife was sending me pictures of them going like for a bike ride and doing all this other kind of fun stuff outside. And I was just sitting there like Cat in the Hat, except it wasn't rain, like it was sunshine, but it's like everybody gets to play outside with me.
Tell her to hold the pictures and show you later.
Yeah, I should. I wouldn't do that, though. They have fun taking the pictures, so. And it's fun seeing them. It makes me happy that, you know, that they're enjoying everything that's going on right now, despite everything that's going on right now. And it's funny, like, hearing secondhand, like, the effects of everything that's happening. It kind of makes me think that, like, I kind of think things are going to change, like maybe not as drastically as I may hope, but I think a lot of kids or a lot of parents at least may see like some advantage of like homeschooling, of like doing all this stuff at home and how productive they can be with their time. And like, I know some of our friends have like looked into programs and be like, well, if this is going to be the new norm, why don't we, you know, look into what it's going to take to do this full time. And I think that's kind of cool because we've even thought about doing it. We're probably not going to, but, you know, we've thought about making this just a full-time thing.
I'm sure there's some people that make that switch, but it's also forced homeschool in a lot of situations too. And, you know, parents are home where they normally wouldn't be. So I don't know if that effect will be as big. Although I do agree that I think this might have some longer standing effects. And I think I talked about this last week where I made a prediction a while ago that, you know, in an online setting, one teacher could handle, you know, possibly twice as many students under certain circumstances. And I know that districts are always looking for ways to, you know, cut down overhead or cut down the number of teachers possibly needed and still deliver quality content. And I think that that's where a lot of this has been trying to move for a while. And this is almost like a forced testing situation. And if it goes well enough in certain situations, I could see where some cuts could possibly be made in the future.
I thought about that when you mentioned that last week and then thinking about it now. And I wondered if kids that like met a certain grade point average would be allowed to like telecommute or whatever from school. Maybe do like a dual enrollment kind of thing, like online from home. Like you mentioned like a certain amount of days that the school district required each kid to be in.
180.
And yeah, my mind jumped to like my job at Lockheed. Like I was required to sit there regardless of how quick I got my work done. And I felt like that was limiting and kind of dumb. And I mean, I'm sure that there are reasons behind it, but I mean, this whole situation has shaken that entire thing up. And so if kids have only gotten half of the school year, and whenever they decide to go back to school, like if the new norm, right, let's just say, because we don't know when this is going to finish, if this is the way that school is, this mostly online with some tangible work, you know, via like web live streams and things, like, is that 180 days actually necessary? Like, this is going to have a whole new data set that I wonder if anybody's going to actually capture.
It'll probably turn into something more like credit hours rather than days.
Because yeah, I mean, I did online courses. High school, it does that, right?
Yeah. Like, when I was in college, like, I went to the University of Oklahoma, which is in the middle of Oklahoma, but I lived here in eastern Oklahoma because I did everything online. And it wasn't about, you know, time sitting in class and things like that. It was just the amount of time that the given curriculum is supposed to take up. And if you finished your work ahead of time, that's great. Like, you have from day one to day 100 to finish the assignments. And if you finish the assignments in day, you know, 20, good on you. Like, class is done. Go do something else. And I think that may be a more applicable situation than just being a warm body in a seat.
Yeah. I mean, that could eventually be a viable alternative, except that teenagers classically lack the discipline to kind of self-regulate online as of right now. But as it becomes more commonplace, I mean, that could definitely change.
It's a skill they have to develop, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a skill they have to develop. I mean, because I did all my master's online. I think I had one or two classes that were in person, but everything else is online. But I had already had a bachelor's degree. I was an adult. You know, it's a little bit different. But I forgot who I said about looking at the data set. I don't think it's going to, because it's not, I don't think it's being measured well enough to even have reliable data from it. But there should be. I mean, if we had a way
I would throw a counterpoint that I did my master's all online too. And I had some of my bachelor's was online because I was in the Army, but I would make the point that a lot more colleges are offering online programs that it would prepare a high school student to telecommute from home and do online work for college more if they were able to do that in their maybe junior and senior year. Like I said, if they have like a certain grade point average, allow them to have a certain amount of time per week that they can telecommute so that a teacher can focus on a smaller classroom size of kids.
There's an argument there.
More one-on-one.
There's no argument.
Right. There. And so like that would prepare them for that self-discipline and that self-scheduling, so that when they go into college, they're already used to that framework.
Well, yeah, I'm not talking about the preparation for college. I'm talking about in high school being able to do it though.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what you're doing essentially right now.
Kind of. I mean, if the proper systems were in place, yes. But, you know, that's also why I said eventually I think that could be more commonplace, where because they've been conditioned so much that way, it's, you know, second nature for them.
Do you guys have a program where like the at risk or like the disciplinary delinquent kids have to do online school?
No, we have an in-person continuation school. I mean, we have something called credit recovery, to where if they didn't pass a class or something, they do it's really a dumb system. They do, I guess, what's supposed to be like the equivalent coursework online, and they get the credit, but it's really not equivalent, even though on paper it shows that they did the work.
A lot of people make that same argument about online college too. And I think that's all on how it's structured. Yeah, no, I make that same kind of sideways head wiggle. A guy that I worked with at Lockheed went to a certain school where he earned his MBA. And we were doing our master's work at the same time, and I had my workload, and he had his. And I'm like, what you're doing is a joke. And he used to laugh and call
it. Yeah, was it Phoenix? University of Phoenix?
No, it was Colorado Technical something. I don't remember what it was.
They're, unfortunately, they're not all equal. And I had some hard coursework, and I could show the papers to prove it too. But yeah, I know what you mean.
But I think this whole event, if I were a student – I could probably make that argument that my time may be better spent, like maybe when the things calm down and you're able to go places again, to do say like a 60-40 split of like internship or, you know, actual work experience and then online school from home, like a self-paced kind of, this is your workload. You don't necessarily have to fill a seat in class, which I know has a lot of like tax implications, teachers union probably support and pushback and things from that. But I have always wondered, like, if it's the way that the colleges are going, and even that is kind of frowned upon or looked down upon for people that want to go to brick and mortar schools, and to see, like, will it work in high schools? And I don't even know if people are brave enough to test it, but this is forcing people to test it.
Well, there are online high schools that already exist. So it's not unprecedented. I mean, it's already happening under certain circumstances. I don't know exactly how they operate, but I know that they exist already. And I could see on a probably not even that long of a timeline, but kind of like what you're proposing with like an internship or something. It's like at my school where we have 12 different pathways that are supposed to be like career preparation pathways. By the junior year, it would make sense to do a job shadow or something maybe for a year or the last 2 years, and then do some of the other coursework online and prepare for that career if that's really what we're trying to push for. I think it makes perfect sense, and I think it's completely doable and feasible within 10 years.
Yeah, I just wondered if maybe you know, 6 months ago, if we were in a conversation with the school board, if that would have been a pipe dream or like a distant, like, well, maybe.
Yes.
Like that might have been a thing, and now people are forced to do it. And these kind of events that shake up the status quo like that, and it's like, well, if it worked for this amount of time, why wouldn't it work with a little bit of perfecting if we learn from kind of what's – and that's why I asked about if anybody was collecting data, and I don't know if anybody actually is. But to see if it's less than that 180-day mark, right? Because a lot of people have snow days or hurricane days we used to have to, like, make up for things.
Yep.
Say if the kids only get 100 days, are all of those kids automatically going to have to, like, redo that grade? Or are they just going to, like, oh, well, extenuating circumstances, you guys are fine. Like, advance to the next station.
It's like the Thanos blip, right?
I can't speak for a lot of other schools or elementary school or junior high schools. I can only speak for, I guess, probably most high schools are fairly common right now. So other than these 2 weeks that we're tentatively losing right now, after spring break, we're in testing season anyways for AP testing and state testing. So we don't have a lot of consecutive regular classroom days anyways. And a lot of the curriculum is already kind of at a crunch time or coming to an end. So when I look at the number of what I would call real instructional days, it's probably closer to 120. So right there is already a huge shift. And on a high school campus, you figure how many distractions of other things are anyways, with drills, with rallies, with everything else that happens. You know, you could probably even knock a couple extra days off that really aren't usually viable instruction days. So you start looking at the entire situation a lot differently when you start looking at quality instruction time. You know, I could probably synthesize, and I won't use animation and computer science as an example because I think they're a special case, but for English, I could probably synthesize my entire course down to 18 weeks when I was teaching AP. As opposed to the 30 that I used to teach.
Okay.
And you figure that's the same rate at what a college class is taught. 18 weeks for a semester. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of why I use that as a mark too. You know, everything is stretched out in high school because you're waiting for people to catch up. You're having to review. People don't do their work. So I mean, that's a lot of lost time.
Yeah. Are you guys, other than Donovan, who doesn't seem to feel the pinch at all, are you guys feeling anxious at all about any of this?
Yeah, I think so, a little bit. I don't know. It's interesting. Like, I'm normally a pretty skeptical person by default. A lot of these things, like all the different, you know, it's hard to ignore all this news coming at you from all these different sources, you know, what to believe, where do you draw the line for a lot of these sort of numbers, like, you know, and like crunching numbers, like what are your chances of getting something when you go out, you know, now versus like 3 weeks from now, when, you know, if you follow the data, like at the rate it's been doubling, it can be, you know, over 100,000, or, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but at the current rate, supposedly, like, it's tracking every 3 days it doubles in the U.S. So if you just like do the math out and see how far, you know, where is the line drawn for you personally, where you will not go anywhere, you know, like, and obviously, like, supposedly my age and the kids, they're on the lower end of risk, but it doesn't mean necessarily that I won't, if I'm going out and about, I'm not the one transmitting it from one person to another person that wouldn't have gotten it otherwise, that's in a risk group, like an elderly person or whatever, or Catherine's parents or what have you. Right. So I think everybody has different lines right now. And I think that's part of the problem. And I'm just worried that because all these lines are different for each individual person, that it'll end up getting crossed, like that virtual boundary between you and this thing. That can get crossed whether you know it or not, because of the delay in getting symptoms, and you can transmit supposedly the virus before you're symptomatic or very early on. So people are like, oh, I'm good. Like we had a person come, like they're supposed to come by, do some landscaping stuff, and he just had a vacation where he came back like 2 days ago from out of the country. And I was talking on the phone with him, and he's like, hey, well, I'll come by, you know, I'm not going to come in your house or whatever, but I'm not coughing or anything. Like, he's just telling me all these things. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, that's great. But the thing is, you don't know if you have it yet. There can be a delay before you even get symptoms. And that's the problem, that little window of time that you think you're free is where you actually could be passing it. And that's where it's leapfrogging. So I think each person, each family, I think, needs to draw that line. Like, are you going to wait till it's a county away from you? Because that's what Catherine's sister is doing, apparently. Kind of go, they're letting their kids, you know, go to their friends' houses. North Carolina already has like 60-some cases, but in that specific county, there aren't any yet. Okay, are you going to wait for data to report to, oh, we just found some, and then by then, you know, it's just, it's weird. It's this wavy personal boundaries that people set up, and you can't really trust any of it. Can't really rely on any of it because it's all different. That's sort of weird, but that's kind of, and us personally, we were not sure where to draw that line either, right? Because, like, in our instance, we want to go camping with you guys. We're camping in the woods. What could possibly go wrong, right? But that's in like 2 or 3 weeks. And if you do the math, it's could be possibly worse by then. It could be even closed by then. I don't know. Trying to determine if it's worth the risk of us going out. You know, personally, we're in the low risk group, but we don't want to be that person that's unintentionally giving it to someone else or passing it through to another group that otherwise would have been unexposed. And I think that's where the danger is, that little pass, that handshake, that you grab the gas pump. Oh, I got to get gas in, you know, Tennessee on the way to the campground. And I touch that one gas pump or that one keypad, or let's say I had it in North Carolina, and it's so easy to do. You don't know you have it, possibly. Or even if you've got a runny nose, or it's just...
Yeah.
I think all the data is not necessarily even in yet for a lot of it, too. So there's like a little bit of unknown, like how symptomatic is somebody, you know, all this stuff. And it's just, it's a recipe for it to get way worse. I think a lot of people aren't necessarily treating it as such.
See, I think personally, that's what's hard, like, about this whole situation. Like, I live in a very, very conservative part of the country, with people that have different ideals than my own. But the general consensus is that it's not as, at least around here, is that it's not as bad as everybody's making it out to be, which I can kind of understand. I mean, I can understand their argument against everything that's going on. because let's take Oklahoma, for example. There's 6 people that have been infected with the virus. There's 2 million people that live in the state. There's a big disparity there, whereas it's not big enough. The numbers aren't big enough for any to warrant anybody freaking out like they have been. Like, my wife went shopping and like the whole buying everything out craze has hit here, and like all the produce is gone, the bread is gone, the cereal is gone, the soup is gone, like toiletries, sanitation, everything is just gone at Walmart. Who's making bank during this whole epidemic, by the way? Holy cow, I can only imagine the returns that they're gonna have this year. But that, like, that being said, everybody, not everybody, I don't want to like generalize it, but like the people I work with are just going about their day as if nothing's going on, because their viewpoint is that it's not as bad as the news is making it out to be. And they're also people that don't generally trust the news. Or
now, what specifically, you talk about the virus itself or just the social situations?
Both. Yeah, both. I mean, we had, they brought in lunch today because it was so busy. You know, they just ordered lunch in, and so everybody got together and we all ate lunch together. And of course, the only conversation anybody wanted to talk about was, you know, the coronavirus and everything going on. And everybody just, not myself, but everybody just had this general consensus that you can't trust the news. Like, everything's being blown way out of proportion. You know, it's not that bad or not that serious. And I have to sit there, you know, drawing on my own experience and saying, yeah, it's not that serious until it is. It's not that bad until it is.
I just did the rough math. It'll take 51 days for your population of 2 million to be completely infected.
Yeah.
If it's just doubling, just starting at 6.
My point to that point,
yep,
was that if there's 6 confirmed cases, those are people that were lucky enough to get a test kit to actually confirm their disease. Yeah.
Right.
The new governor of Kentucky has done an amazing job of like informing people every day. He holds like a press conference. And today we read a little while ago, my wife and I, that there are now 8 places in the entire state of Kentucky that can actually test for this. Not that there are enough test kits that just have the ability to test for it. So I would put that same kind of that statistical bias. Like, I don't know anybody that has it. It's in that county over there, which I kind of had that same thought process. And at Bob's, there's me and Bob and Anthony. Anthony lives in Louisville. In Louisville, there's been 4 confirmed cases and a person just died. Not that, you know, Louisville's a big city, right? Not that he goes around licking every lamppost, but his wife works at a hospital. And they're like, well, I am a very pragmatic person. I like to play statistics. Yep. My little like statistical force field got a little smaller and then got maybe a little bit smaller for other little things. And that whole, like, there's only this many people. There's only 45 people in a state of this many. And I'm like, well, nobody has tested me. Nobody's tested anybody that I know. And now a bunch of people that I follow on Twitter that are honest, you know, honest enough people that I can tell, like, you're sick. They tell you don't get a test unless you have passed these certain criteria. Those certain criteria don't appear until 15 to 16 days after you've been infected. Oh,
yeah. What have you been doing between then and then?
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's where I was also that person. I look around my community. I go, well, there's been no confirmed cases in this community.
Right.
I go, okay, let's look at that logical fallacy first and foremost. Like, let's analyze this before I can put up my force field. I go, I don't know any of these people. Not that we need to demonize our neighbors, which I think is an underlying, like, don't do that. Don't demonize Chinese people when someone calls it the China virus or whatever. It's ridiculous. Like, statistically, I may not know people. I don't know where they are. I don't know where they've been. I don't know if they just got back from vacation. The one confirmed case, or no, there's 3 confirmed cases in the county that I lived in Florida. One lady went on a cruise and just was at church. Like, oh, there's a bless her heart, little old Maribel, just walking around giving everybody a hug on their neck. Good old nice lady, like, spread it to a bunch of people. Or not a bunch of people, spread it to at least 3 people in this church. And then people in Kentucky were like, this new Democratic governor's telling us not to go to church. He's a dirty heathen. And then, like, a week later, all the churches start doing, like, online video like sermons. It's very proud of an individual to just look at statistics in the face, but like faulty statistics.
Yeah.
And I think you can't
incomplete
do both.
Statistics.
Yeah, you can't go like, well,
maybe not so much faulty, but just incomplete.
Well, I think that they're one and the same at this point.
No, incomplete in a dangerous direction,
though. I think they're faulty, too. It's like a faulty assumption.
There's a logical fallacy in that this number I am presented with makes me this protected. Right. Like if it's a two cups, my bubble of people around me that are completely clean and healthy is a super full cup. Hooray. I go, well, that cup might not be as full as you think it is. And it only takes one drop of the other cup to start messing up your nice full clean cup.
Yeah. Cause that's not a hermetically sealed cup.
Exactly. And you don't know all the other little droplets in that cup. I don't know where they've been. I touched a stinking keypad today, as I've touched a keypad a bajillion times. And today I went, ew.
Thought a little bit more about it. Yeah.
I statistically increased my chances, even though I have no idea who touched that thing. I know that the lady behind the checkout register is not getting up off of that stool. I'll tell you that right now at Lowe's. She's not moving. But it's little things that, like, I don't know if you can hear this little slight lisp that I have. I got Invisalign on Monday. So I went to the orthodontist. There's a giant sign on the door. I was like, don't come in here. I'm like, oh, crap, that must be closed. This sucks. I'm supposed to get my thing. They're like, call us, and when we're ready for you, we will call you back on your phone. Well, that's kind of cool. Rather than me sitting next to somebody in a waiting room, ignoring them on my phone, I can more socially acceptable sit in my own car and ignore them on my phone. I'm like, I'm not losing anything by doing that. Like, that is a preventative measure that someone who bases their actions on faulty statistics could get pissy about, or like, oh, you're just making all this stuff up. Like, what harm is that? There's no harm in going to get a curbside pickup for something rather than going in and hanging out and sitting there pretending to read a newspaper in a coffee shop. Like, I think that the things that are being asked of people, other than like, yeah, you have to stay home with your kids, that I cannot speak to. My wife does that every day. She's a wonderful person. But I think that that major piece, and then like if you work in restaurants or things like we've talked about earlier, like those are major disruptions. But I think the distancing and some of the social changes, I think are good things. I think limiting the amount of people in a grocery store, not that that should happen all the time, but I think it's necessary. It's a reaction to people freaking out, buying up all the toilet paper and all the bread. Like, yeah, you should wait in line and quit being so stinking close to me. Hack and Herb, like, back up a little bit. Like, that's fine.
It's some of the social changes that kind of worry me the most about the entire situation, of like, how far are these ripples going to extend out, you know, after this is somewhat resolved, or at least gets back to a place to where life could get somewhat normal. You know, you look at companies trying to be, or on the surface, it seems like they're trying to be altruistic. Okay, you know, we're going to pay our employees while they're still at home and trying to work from home. We're trying all this remote stuff. But then looking at the aftermath and the economic impact, I don't know, you know, what the result is going to be at that point.
Yeah,
I would hope that like companies and individuals after a situation that we're going through right now would be more financially conscious. Because there's a lot of companies that aren't going to make it because they weren't hedged against anything bad ever happening.
Well, there's a lot of people that aren't going to financially make it.
No, I know. I understand that. But it's like, it's hard to go through situations like this, but it's also, you know, it's also one of those things where you learn now, like how important it is to, you know, be a Boy Scout and be prepared, you know,
or be adaptable. I think one thing I've been really proud of is a lot of the local businesses in my town have switched to online orders really quickly.
Yep.
And my mother-in-law, like my wife and I were talking about this, she owns an antique store in Alabama. I'm like, holy crap, what are they doing? Like, that's completely reliant on foot traffic because they don't have all their stuff in a database online for people to buy. and kind of maybe a certain demographic of people coming in looking at old stuff. I was like, that's got to really hurt. But like the coffee shop in town, like an ice cream place, I just went and picked up ice cream curbside at a handmade ice cream place in town that we can order online. Mm-hmm. The infrastructure to be able to set that up is so easy to do that if you're in the competitive commerce market right now and you don't have an online or e-commerce presence, I think you're doing something wrong. Even places that are like more communal and sit down, like restaurants, like I get that, but like having DoorDash and having those things that you're adapting to a changing wave. You're adapting to kind of what's happening at this moment. You're making it as easy as possible for people who support you to give you money. And now you have to do it without them physically handing it to you. So I super applaud a lot of the businesses in town that have been able to kind of amend their business model to be able to stay afloat. Because I think I say this as a reflection of myself. I want to, like what I've been saying, I want to help them. I want to give my money to those people because I understand that right now is a super difficult time for them. And so like, allow me to do that, but allow me to do it safely because the governor says that we can't have dine-in services anymore. Like, okay, meet me outside and I'll hand it from you and I'll spray you with some Lysol and then I'll go home and eat your food.
You know, Joshua, I think you're bringing up a good point. And just recently, and I don't remember if it was just a reaction to this or if it started a little bit before this, but a bigger push in my area, I've seen the signs up in different capacities of like, you know, buying local, trying to support local more instead of like, you know, bigger corporations. And maybe that could be another positive coming out of this too, and looking at community a little bit better and how to support each other.
I think the real big kind of push pull is, and I've had this internally, Bob and I talked about this. We were talking about maybe doing like an Instagram story where you could, how to support businesses in town. Like if the movie theater or whatever's closed and it's a locally owned and operated place, like maybe buying gift certificates so they can have cash flow on hand now. And then you can still get movie tickets for something down the line. Gift certificates are probably a pretty easy and common thing, I think. But I focused on like locally owned places. And then I thought about it, I'm like, well, like the Taco Bell down the street employs people that are probably more financially dependent on the hours that they get at that restaurant that are probably going to be cut down because of the lack of service.
Sure.
And so it may just be incredibly overwhelming and kind of against the whole social distancing if you're just spending all of your time driving around to all the different restaurants in town, handing them your debit card. But there's a part of me that is trying to balance this whole thing. Reading reports from Italy, like from doctors and scholars in Italy about they were hoping that a week of the mandatory like remain in place would affect anything. And it right now, according to the data, it hasn't. Like numbers are still going up, even though like there are police in the street, like only allowed to go outside to go get food, to like properly go to like the hospital or to go to work in very certain circumstances. Yeah. And like it's not working as logical people would imagine it would work.
At what point is it going to have to get to that? I hope it doesn't, but what point would it have to get to where that would be the situation here? Like imagine how people really freak out. Like,
well, I think it's incredibly.
I think Americans are way more stubborn and more like prideful, not in a bad way all the way, you know, all the time, but
what's
like,
really bad is spring break coming here. Up.
It's not going to happen to me. Yeah. There's already videos about people going, doing stupid crap in Florida, man, about, you know, spring break stuff, and how irresponsible and reckless people are being with it. But I mean, we never thought we would be in this situation we're in right now. All right. Take that same mindset and just go forward like a month. 2 months. I mean, how crazy you have to get before there's possibly martial law kind of stuff. I mean, it's all sort of like seems like far out preppery kind of talk, but it's closer than it's ever been now. And part of the situation, part of the problem we're in now is because we didn't talk about it before. It was sort of like a subset of people. Like, oh, it's never going to happen to us in the U.S. You know, that sort of mentality. It just happens over there. Never here. Well, now it's here. At what point is it going to either be serious enough for us people to take it seriously, or if people don't take it seriously, what's going to actually happen, and what are the ramifications of that pressure, you know, of you can't go anywhere, you're not allowed to leave anywhere, or you get arrested.
I think, like, it's going to be worse because of our American pride.
Exactly. The militia kind of feeling. That we have, yeah.
It's the China virus, which I think is horribly, horribly terrible to put out, because again, it's throwing blame, or it's throwing the problem elsewhere.
Yep.
And go, like,
what is an adversary? So different? It gives a nationality to a nameless, faceless entity.
Well, it separates you. It separates people physically, and it separates them mentally. And I think there are I love my country. I love the people in this country. I love the people from all over the world. But what is so different from Italy? Are there people, like, somehow, like, physiologically different? Do they walk around and just, like, make out with one another whenever they see each other? Like, what makes people think that there is some, like, I'll go with that force field analogy again. Like, there's some stupid force field around us just because we fall under a certain flag.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing different. And I think the pride that a lot of people have, that it's over there. It's in China. China's full of people eating bats and monkeys and stuff. I think that's ridiculous. Well, now it's in Italy. Like, well, that's Europe. You know, people in Europe are just, you know, they're weird. They kiss each other when they say hi. Well, now it's in almost every other westernized country. And there's only so many times, like, oh, well, that's a them people, and that's a they, and that's a them, and that's not a us. And, like, well, it's here now. Like, well, it's only in California. It's only in New York City, in the big cities where all the crazy people live. And there's only so many times where you can point to the unknown, faraway place that pride will eventually come back and bite people. Not saying everybody's going to die and that some pandemic's going to wipe the slate clean, but I think that mindset is dangerous because it doesn't help everybody. I think that's like the anti-vaxxer movement that thinks that they're so much better than the others that are around them, that they're invincible. And it's dangerous pride that I think we as Americans, more than any culture that I've ever been around, are susceptible to.
And because of that, you know, it's similar to the anti-vaxxer thing, where they're in action, or their belief that they're doing the right thing by choosing not to get it is endangering people that make the right decision through, you know, the community immunity. I forget the right word is. But that's actually endangering people because they're choosing that. And likewise, people that are choosing to go out to a bar and high five everybody, they're endangering people that choose to stay at home because of that one interaction at Taco Bell that causes that transfer, right?
I'll give anti-vaxxers a leg up on people that are going out right now and don't care. Is at least people in the air quotes, like, anti-vax movement still think that they're doing good. Like, the reason not to vaccinate is because that there is some data that they feel is going to put somebody at risk. Right. So at the heart of they're doing, they feel like they're helping, or they're not allowing people to come into harm. I think the people now that just don't care or are ignoring it or go, like, it's not going to happen, I don't really care. Like, that's just laziness and apathy and selfishness. And go, like, is your freaking avocado toast at the place really that important? Like, are you so dependent on doing that thing and, like, shaking everybody's hand? Are you so locked into that as a human being that without that, you're just going to disintegrate?
That's hard not to do.
Eat avocado toast? I know, right?
No. Shaking people's hand. Like, the security company that came today.
Certain elbow
bumps. Like, I went and came, it's like, oh, wait, I probably shouldn't have done that. But hey, how's it going? Like, well, there's so many things that we do that's force a habit. Like, how many times have you touched your face in the last 60 seconds? I know. There are things that we know that we shouldn't be doing, but, like, habitually, like, we do them. There are hard habits to break. Shaking hands.
While we were at the bar last week, I was watching all the people, and, like, people would come in that we knew were like, oh, hey. And you go to shake somebody's hand, they were like, whoa, and they back up and do a thing. Some people were doing, like, dumb little foot tapping things. I was like, that's stupid. And some people were like, this is dumb. And they would give the, like, side hug. You know what I'm talking about? The weird, awkward side hug. And I was watching when people would do it. I'm like, no part of your skin comes into contact with the other person's skin. And usually when you're doing a side hook, you kind of turn your face away. And I'm like, maybe this is the couple beers that I got down in me. I'm like, that still seems way more hygienic.
But those cough droplets that are on his shirt just wiped onto your shirt. Now they'll live on your shirt for 9 days, right?
I don't rub my shirt all over me.
When you take it off, you're going to be like, right over your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you cut it away from your, oh, there's a disposable shirt, Hulk Hogan style.
Wes is just trying to close all the loopholes here.
I'm just saying. Just
buy up all the shirts. We should get into that. We should go to the store right now and buy up all the t-shirts before they're all gone so we can
artificially create the next Rush.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why are the Cretans just like Idiocracy. All the shirts?
Oh, man. That movie is so
Idiocracy, man. Just like peel the shirt out like the toilet paper or the toilet protector.
Sure. Yeah, there was a Brian Gordon who was on the podcast, the foul language comic guy. He had a post on his private Facebook wall that said, he said, I hope all future zombie movies include the part where people keep insisting on going out because zombies don't even eat people their age anyway.
Hmm. Have you noticed if you do go out, if you have, that the elderly community is kind of everywhere?
Oh, yeah.
I have noticed whenever I've went out and I've tried to limit my excursions. Again, like I mentioned earlier, to curbside kind of stuff. But I walked around Lowe's today giving people a wide berth. And I'm like, this place is filled with like air quotes, like at risk people. I'm like, I wonder if it's apathy. I wonder if it's like Donovan, like you're talking about your community. Like maybe it's people not wanting to listen to the news or thinking that there's some hype or they just don't care. I'm like, well, it seems to be a whole lot of people that care more than the people that are at risk.
Or we're in a situation where they hate crowds, they hate people, they hate interaction, and here's an opportunity where there's no crowds, there's no people, they have very little interaction. It's like an ideal environment, except for the fact that, you know, you can get sick.
Do you remember the stores that have, like, elderly and, like, senior-only hours, like Target's doing that?
That's great.
Pretty smart. Yeah.
It's a cool idea.
Now it's one giant group of people to get infected by that one cashier, right?
Hey, putting them all through the same same path.
And you have to Lysol the entire store down before you open it to them, or else. I don't know. All those shopping cart handles, man.
Oh, they got those wipes.
Yeah, but the top to open the wipes.
Not everywhere has wipes.
We just can't win.
No. Like, not everyone.
Yeah, not everybody does. Yeah, and someone stole them all, probably too, because you know it's that time.
But today, particularly, like I went out and I'm like, I purposely had an agenda, like a curbside online limit my contact with people agenda, and so I counted all the things that I touched, then I looked around, went like, how can I disinfect this thing for the next person? And there was usually nothing.
Yeah.
Like I went to the gas station. Gas was dirt cheap. That was great.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing to kind of clean off the pump. I went to Lowe's. There's nothing on the little debit card. And then lady on her stool didn't seem to care. And I'm like, okay.
All the handles for the frozen food stuff, right?
Yeah. I don't think that if this were to end tomorrow that anybody would learn anything. Or there would be really no social change to prevent this from happening, or to reduce the probability of this happening again. I think it would take like the through the summer kind of like major, major, major disruptions for like things to actually sink in.
I don't think it has to extend for that long to feel those changes. I think a lot of it has to come from leadership though too. I don't know.
At what level of leadership?
Every government.
I mean, heck, even in the produce area of a grocery store, when you go to get the bag out, you're like, lick your finger and fumble with the stupid little cellophane bag to put, you know, those apples in. You just licked your finger after being in this hazardous environment, right? So you can't.
I don't ever use those bags.
And you just put it in the cart. A handful of green beans, like on the top,
like an animal.
How do you maybe do green beans?
Maybe not green beans, right? But a majority of the places now, like, they're in some type of container. But, like, maybe not loose leaf stuff, but, like, a lot of stuff is bundled with a barcode on it. Like, I go to Kroger, it's not some specialty whatever grocery store, and most of the stuff you either weigh and you type on the little screen the name, and then you weigh it, or it has an individual barcode. Like, I don't really use those bags.
You put, like, 10 apples just rolling around in your basket?
Yeah. I put it in a bag when I'm done. I'm not juggling them through the store. I don't have to carry them all in one hand. I have a basket. Like, I have a cart.
All right, George is saying,
just get a satchel of apples if you're going to get that many. Like, get one that's already in a bag.
Technically Woodworking, George, from Technically Woodworking, the YouTube channel, he says, get reusable bags, Wes. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the produce bags when you're actually in the produce area.
Yeah, the clear plastic bags. Green beans.
Yeah, everyone uses those.
I challenge you next time you go to the store, don't use one.
I'm not going to set my grapes in the kid sits in the diaper, you know, possibly dirty diaper in the little kid / front, you know, upper rack of the cart, and you're going to put grapes there? Nope.
Grapes come in a bag.
Not always.
Most of the grapes come in a bag. And don't, you should be washing your produce. You should not eat a piece of produce that you haven't washed.
I agree. It's going to get on the bag.
I'm just saying.
I'm not normal. I'm super germaphobe. I assure you, I am not. I am
a germaphobe.
You're just looking for the loopholes.
No. Yeah, I love looking for loopholes. That's like my thing. But
maybe what we should all do is watch the latest Mark Rober video, because he talks about.
I already watched it.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah,
I'm just using this opportunity to affirm things I think that are unnecessary, and I'm glad that the rest of the world is finally starting to come around to, like, I don't need to shake your hand. I don't need to sit in your restaurant. Just give me the stuff and I can go about my way. I don't need to sit in your waiting room for no stupid reason. I don't need to use the little bags at the grocery store because everything has a barcode. You put it in the bag.
What about the grocery divider thing you put between the other person's groceries that everybody touches? You bring your own wood. Bring your own wooden dowel. Put it down. Self-checkout.
I use the self-checkout lane. You don't need to use those things.
You bring your own screen so you don't have to touch it?
That's the one thing, and that's what I'm doing. In my fact-finding mission today, that is the one thing that I could not actually avoid.
So I've been using my pinky for all that stuff, because I'm less likely to touch my face with my pinky than any other finger.
I turn my knuckle.
Yeah, knuckles.
Yep. Kroger just uses apps. You can scan everything right there, pay for it, show the receipt as you walk out.
You can do the click list at Kroger. You don't even have to go in the store.
I don't even know what that is.
In the store. Click list, order online.
I'm assuming Kroger is a grocery store.
It's a nationwide grocery store. A lot of places, I don't know, you can call in. I know that Aldi delivers groceries, but a lot of grocery stores are making it easier for you not to have to go walk around the grocery store, which I actually enjoy. I just don't want to interact with anybody else at the grocery store. And I don't want to have to use one of those little baggy things.
What did we learn in 2020? Josh was right.
No, I just, there's little things that can be tweaked where you don't have to interact with people, and it's not at the detriment of society. Self-checkouts everywhere.
No argument.
We beat that dead horse really well tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But he's contagious, so he needs to be beaten.
And tested.
So you make glue out of it.
Right. Jello.
What are you guys geeking out about? Jello. Oh, gosh.
I'm geeking out about Blender. I've been wanting to put time into it for a while to look at some of the new features with the new version that's out. And just so happens, I had some time this week, especially today. And they have a 2D animation. It's been in there for a while, but they've made a lot of improvements on it. And I did a drawing and I sent it today. And I thought it came out okay. I was kind of impressed with the tools.
As a 2D animation package?
Yeah, it's built in. And it has some really cool functions where you could start mixing and matching it with the 3D. You can even do like a base 3D model and then draw over it in the grease pencil, which is, well, their drawing tools. And there's
so you're like You're dynamically drawing on a 3D surface with a pen, you mean?
You could do that too, but the one way I saw it where they had like a...
Are you talking like an onion skin where it's an overlay and you draw on the overlay with the, you the can base do, model under it?
You can do all of that too. But the one example that I saw that I was kind of messing around with that isn't the drawing that I post on Instagram, but something else, where you could have a lockdown view in the perspective and then draw over the 3D model that you did. Mm-hmm. But there's – I'm barely scratching the surface. Mm-hmm. But all the animation features are pretty much there, and people have gotten some really cool results. And I really like the mix of a 2D painterly look on a 3D object. And that's the point I'm going to try to get to, because I like that feel, and just the ability to fly a camera around a 3D model that looks like it's been hand drawn,
like Paper Man.
Yes, but even more painterly than that.
Hmm. Yeah, that is what the name of the Disney short, right? Paper Man.
Yeah, I thought that's the one that you're referring to. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that, but I think even more painterly than that, even.
Hmm. Cool.
How about you guys?
I'll go. let's see. George from Technically Woodworking set up a Minecraft server, which normally would not interest me in the slightest.
Oh my gosh.
But I was like, you know, I'll just... The kids are asleep. The wife's in bed. I don't want to smell laser engraving smoke right now. Like, let me just see what this is all about. I've been like super naysayer for that. Like, I had no interest in it. It's a waste of time. Why build something in a 3D environment when I can build something here that's tangible? Like, it's really good. It's good.
Until I come.
Until you, okay, you tell the story. You tell the story. So I set up this little pen of all these animals. Curated, I've like have like a pen in the ground of like 10 sheep and an unknown number of chickens, and I hear this clip 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 sound, and I'll go around the corner. It's like he's shearing my sheep with little scissors, you know, taking their wool, which is completely fine. I don't care if you kill some and take the food. Donovan's in there.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing in this game,
and I'm like, that's cool, go ahead, dude. I'm like, you can have whatever you want. And then It's in a pit in the ground. You have to build blocks underneath yourself in the middle of the pit to make your like a pillar to jump off of. That's how I've done it get out.
Would have been nice had I known.
Had you known, there's a giant pillar in the middle of this pen already. But whatever. So he like takes one corner off the, you know, he kind of like puts a slope in the pit and he climbs out. And right before he did that, I'm like, don't you dare let all my animals out. I said that. Not at 2 seconds more. It's like,
guess what happened?
An uphill waterfall of wildlife. Like they just all, and he just like, he's running around frantically placing blocks everywhere, trying to like trap them in, but they can all like jump one block high to get over. So he can only put one down at a time. So they're just like, and they're just all gone. And he's trying to contain them. I'm just going around slaughtering them all so I can at least get all their stuff, right? I'm like, you guys are dead. You're dead. You're free. You're dead.
I want to play.
And then I log off. And then I just happen to check it. And what happened? Oh, all those blocks that he like put down frantically, they're still there.
You can clean up after yourself?
No.
I went to my own little corner.
I'm going home.
And Pity built a little house.
I was laughing a lot. It was funny.
No, I got a tour. Is that was like the end of all of the other mistakes that I had made. It was like, oh, why is my wheat gone? Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Like hack it up and harvest it? Nope, it's all ruined now. I got to plan everything. I had a system. It's like, oh, great. Oh, great. I just ruined everything. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go over my own little corner of this pixelated world and build a house and get killed by zombies like every 10 seconds. It was dumb.
All right, I kind of want to play now. I got a tour of the Minecraft server the other day. George, yeah. George was on there the other day. Yeah,
Wing Geekscraft.
And then Wing Geekscraft was on there. Yep,
they're both in there.
Yeah, and they gave us
probably in there right now.
They are in there right now.
They showed me Wes's little like shanty up on the hill.
Yep.
And I guess George made like a little pin of cows that like can't move and just like angrily moo all over. It looked really crazy. And I've never played Minecraft.
Yep.
But now I kind of just want to be like a little terrorist and go around and.
You can also be a jerk if you want to be. So, I think George had just made his building. Like he just built a house and then he like fixed it all up. Da, 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 and he made like a little window or something at the top. And he logged off, and then Nicole jumps up on the roof and like knocks a hole in the ceiling. And there's a mechanic where you pick up water in a bucket, and wherever you place that bucket of water, it'll make like a little source of water coming from wherever you placed it. So she like poured it in the top of his house, and it filled his entire house up with water because it's like airtight, right? And so you just like walk by, he had all these like glass windows, and it just looks like an aquarium. It was hilarious. I know there's way more griefing that you can do in that game. I'm super a noob. I'm a noob at this game for sure. Like I will be the first to admit it, but that was hilarious. If you're not like permanently trying to be a jerk and destroy everything, there's some funny stuff you can do.
Yeah. And almost once everybody accidentally lights their house on fire.
Yeah. I'm starting to play with lava now. So those guys better watch out.
My son did that after spending a week on a house. He was in tears after. He couldn't put the fire out. It was gone.
You can even lay down like little circuits and make like reactive machines and pistons and control things. That's where I'm at now. And I'm like, yeah, I can see how this is
using redstone.
Mm-hmm.
I saw George had a table saw in a little workshop.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Well, I've been playing Portal. I beat Portal 1 and now I started Portal 2 today.
What'd you think?
Yeah, what's your verdict?
I don't know if you guys have played this game. It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun.
So I've heard.
Who would have thunk?
Yeah, I'm glad you took our recommendation. Yep.
I don't like, however, how Portal 2 makes me relearn all the stuff that I already learned in Portal 1. I get it.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
I want to get with it.
You also have to take into account that when Portal 2 came out, people hadn't been playing for a while. So there's like a time element where they wanted to remind people.
Yeah,
It's like TV shows that you're not where at the beginning of every episode, it's like previously on.
Yep. Maybe it's the Netflix culture has allowed me to like skip the intro or skip the recap. Like I want to do that, but I can't. So I'm like, all right, I'll play along. Oh no, everything is broken and there's weeds everywhere. I'm like, get on with it.
It'll be well worth it once you get to some of the new mechanics.
Yep.
Mm.
And it's very entertaining. Listen to all the talking and all the voices and all the voice clips.
Portal 2 is so good.
It's great.
Wesley is amazing.
Thank you.
Cave Johnson is amazing. There's so many good things in that game. So many good things. My wife and I watched Jumanji, the new one, last night, and it was very entertaining. Mm-hmm. It was very, very... it was silly.
It's a silly movie.
My kids, 5 and 7 and 1, I wouldn't recommend them watching it. Mm. There's a lot of innuendos lot of innuendos, which would go over their heads anyway, but I'm just like, eh. But it was a fun movie. It was a silly movie. I was like, wow, this is a sequel. This is pretty good. I can't always say that for a sequel, but it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I recommend people watch it. If you enjoyed the first one, you'll definitely enjoy this one. If you didn't enjoy the first one, we'll probably skip this one, but still good movie. Fun.
It's funny you brought up Jumanji, because I've been kind of on a Robin Williams kick with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what the first movie, they watched Aladdin and got used to, this is the guy that did his voice. And there's some other little shows on Disney Plus. There's some crap movie with John Travolta, The Old Dogs or something. For some reason, they love that movie. It's harmless, but it's pretty dumb. And while they were watching that, I ordered, just a couple of days ago, I ordered Mrs. Doubtfire and showed that to them.
My kids.
I have not heard Samantha laugh that hard in a movie. Oh my gosh. And I hadn't seen that one in such a long time as well. It was great. So we're going to
get Ferngully.
Yeah. Ferngully.
Yes.
Ferngully? I tried to find Ferngully streaming yesterday. It was on like Stars or some garbage that you had to buy, but yeah, Ferngully's a good one. He plays plays Batty.
Hmm.
It's good stuff.
His logic is a ratty.
is.
All right. We'll do it.
All right. Well, we love to hear from all of you. You can check out our website, makinggeeks.com, and on the contact page, you can get a hold of us and, you know, ask any questions or make some suggestions for the show. And on the homepage of the site, we have all of our past episodes where you can listen to them right there on our website.
And individually, we're all pretty involved on social media. I say social media, it's mainly Instagram, although I have just jumped onto the TikTok craze.
I heard.
I am on TikTok now. I was like that for a long time, but despite all my reservations about it and kicking and screaming and whatnot, Brittany from
Brittany's World.
Yes. Talked me into it. And so I did it despite all of my, like I said, reservations about it. I have had more engagement on two posts on TikTok in the last 2 days than I have in the past several months on Instagram. It is kind of insane. So anyways, you can find us all on Instagram. Sean can be found over at Geek Builders. Wes can be found at Geeksmithing. Josh, is it Josh_MakeStuff or is Stuff with Bob? If you haven't watched his PUBG Welder's Hat video today, you should definitely go check that out. And I like to make stuff. And I can be found at What's Upon a Workbench on Instagram and now and on TikTok too.
And we'd like to thank our patrons over at patreon.com for their financial contributions, keeping our show on the air each and every week. We thank you all so much, including our top patron, Derek from Square Splinter. Thank you so much for your patronage.
Oh, it's my turn now.
Yep.
We'd like to thank everybody for hanging out with us this Thursday at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time here in the States in the YouTube live chat. If you want to be part of that conversation, you can head on over there. We're hanging out there waiting for you. And if you want to hear this in your podcast player of choice, it comes out every Saturday. So you can be aware. You can set a reminder or you can download it automatically. It's a good time. You can listen to it while you're at home doing nothing. Or if you're at work, wishing you were at home doing nothing. Take this time to get some stuff done. Take some time to spend with your family, because somebody had mentioned something the other day. Your kids are not going to really remember the school they're missing. They're going to remember the time home with you.
Ooh, that's good.
So think about that. That's true. And be more engaging, because it's something I am not. I will typically run away and hide in my shop and fight that urge. Be engaged. So thanks, everybody. We hope you're staying safe. We hope this helped. If you're feeling anxious, talk to somebody. You can talk to us if you want to. Talk to anybody else you know. We'll all get through this together. Collective hug. Well, no, we can't hug.
Side hug.
Don't hug it. There you go. Side hug.
You know, all right,
we hope you have a fantastic week.
Sorry, I interrupted you. I'm sorry. I apologize. I wanted to float the idea of maybe doing like a community hangout next Thursday. It's like for the ultimate social distancing between us and maybe get some other people in here, like Google Hangout or something like that with the audience, just to change it up a little bit. Sure. I mentioned it here on live so that I am motivated enough to actually investigate that and so that enough people will hear it to actually participate in it. So there you go. Stay tuned to all our social media information for details.
See, I just wanted to go look at my calendar. Everything is canceled. We're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere.
Let's hang out with us.
So many things. All right. Yeah, it sounds fun. So come on over next week, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time on Thursday, and come hang out with us. Yep. We'll figure out how to do it. I don't know. We'll let you know.
Keep your head up. Have a good week.
Keep your hands out of your face.
At least I didn't have to work late today.
This is stupid. I shouldn't have to touch any of this.
Yeah.
Fix yourself.